This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is Warriors This Week. 1 hour left. Devin Giddings and Dan Devone trying to break this Jimmy Butler trade down from all angles. Micro, macro. Appreciate everybody that's
Jimmy on the
in.
Horn. It's Jimmy, when do you call in? Let's talk to Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler is, well, he's now become the best interview. Although
he's always been a good guy, though. Well, I shouldn't say a good guy. I like him. I've always found him sort of like, if I was in the NBA, I'd probably hang out with that dude.
Well, that's why I hope he's bringing some coffee with him. Although he sells it for an exorbitant price. I mean, Jimmy Butler's, yeah, he's all about his bread, which I respect. I do think that, like, I'm looking forward to the first press conference at home. It actually does suck, the timing of the trade, because the Warriors are amidst, like, I think a 2-home game and 13-game stretch. You know, the next time they're at home is later this month on the 23rd, or right before it, they play Charlotte, and then Iguodala's jersey retirement will be on Saturday, I think it's the 23rd. But we don't really actually get to see Jimmy at home, which is kind of tough. What I'm looking forward to seeing the most, hopefully if he plays tonight, there are other players that have to pass physicals. Jimmy wasn't a shoot-around, still expected right now to play. I just want to see how, if he is really that alpha on the floor from the start, because I think he's someone that is going to need the ball, is someone that can play with anybody. But, you know, again, you're bringing in a one. I think the Warriors understood that. Like, they were trying to get the most talented player they could, the best player they could at the deadline. And when the Durant thing fell through, I don't know, maybe LaVine came off the board. I think Jimmy's better than LaVine, but he became plan B.
Let's do a best case, worst case scenario.
Okay.
We'll start with the best case scenario, and I'll start with you.
I think the best case scenario for this season is if
they not necessarily for the season, but just he's on the floor tonight. Best case of how it is that he immerses with this basketball team, and then you can take it as to how far they go in the postseason if you want.
They make the playoffs all 3 years that he's here. I think that's the best case scenario.
But I wanted you to dive into the minutia. Just tell me, how does it work with him on the floor? Best case scenario.
How it works with him on the floor is, you're able to keep, in an ideal world, you keep your defense at a high enough level. Kuminga comes back and gives you more of a scoring punch off the bench. Because that's another thing, too. I don't think there's room for Kuminga to start over Draymond or Jimmy. I think you're going to have not similar issues to the Wiggins-Kuminga pairing, but maybe some. To me, you're...
Why can't he slide back to the four?
Who, Jimmy?
No, Kuminga.
Well, because Draymond's starting.
We'll put Draymond at the five.
You don't have a lot of shooting on the floor.
No, I know, but
But I think that you're much better half court offense with Jimmy on the team. Maybe even than Wiggins, because Jimmy's a shot creator. That's something the Warriors have not had. So you now have two shot creators on the floor with Curry and Butler, and you're a more efficient offense. You have someone that can help you in the two categories which you really struggle, which are layups and free throws, and you're able to win close games. I think that's how it looks to me. The like best case scenario with Jimmy.
I would agree. I think he covers a lot of areas of need. I think he's an ISO guy that can take you from the wing. He'll go get his on his own. He's going to alleviate pressure from Steph. He unlocks Steph. Steph becomes Steph again. He re-energizes his team with his hustle, because that's what he does. So I think it was Duncan Robinson was talking about this, and he was asked recently on his podcast, who, by the way, he's taken over the J.J. Redick podcast. It's the old man, the three, and Duncan Robinson now. And so Duncan Robinson was asked.
He's a placeholder until Redick gets fired. Although maybe he's got tenure now with Doncic, his old teammate.
So here he is talking about Duncan Robinson's talking about, you know, he's talking about Jimmy Butler, and he says, well, think about it. He doesn't really shoot a three. He doesn't necessarily cross you over and have this amazing first step to the hoop. It's not about his quickness. He does have a good mid-range game. It's not about his rebounding. It's all this dude is just outworks desire, hustle. It's like 85% attitude with this guy. That's what separates him from everybody else and why he's as good, if not at times, as great as he is. And I think that that could be infectious on a basketball team that, again, to get back to an earlier caller's point, could use the proverbial kick in the butt right now in a shakeup where it's just Draymond's world right now. Well, move over. There's another sheriff in town, and that could work. And I think that in the best-case scenario, he provides an energy that's clearly lacking. And then physically, he's able to go ISO. He unlocks Steph. And then it works with Jonathan Kuminga, who's another guy that can come in and go ISO and get his own. And suddenly the Warriors, just like anything else in the NBA, begin to play beyond their skis because they have a level of confidence. And should this team get into the postseason, the one thing we do know is that their season and that their experience, and that they could handle someone like that of a Houston or a Memphis or even OKC in a 7-game series. Best case scenario. Now worst case.
Yeah, so again, best case scenario, I think they get to the playoffs this year, they win a series, and they get to the postseason for the remainder of like the Dre, Curry, Butler trio.
Well, okay, best case
of their era.
What's the furthest they're going?
The furthest that they go, I don't see them being able to win multiple playoff series against top seeds. I just don't.
So best case scenario, you don't even have them going to the Western Conference Finals.
No, I think it'd be the semis.
That's pretty telling. Okay.
Well, I you just asked me. I'm telling
no,
you.
No, I think it's yeah, it's telling.
Okay, for worst case scenario, I actually don't think it's going to blow up like the Miami thing did, and Jimmy's going to wreck the locker. I don't think that happens. What I think happens is we realize that this is just a different version of the same thing. That it's still about a 500 basketball team. It's a fringe play-in team, and the allure of the stardom between these three guys just kind of wears off. Like, I think that's the worst case scenario. Is they're just not that competitive. Like, to me, I don't think it's Jimmy fighting anybody or Jimmy asking out or Jimmy blowing up the Warriors culture in the locker room. I think it's just we think that they're going to be better than they are, and they're not.
Worst case scenario is that Jimmy Butler joins this team and doesn't make a difference. Worst case scenario is that this team is old and gets older. Worst case scenario is that he misses games and he, Steph, and Draymond are rarely on the floor together. And as a result, you continue to lose. And just like I said, in the best case scenario where you win and it builds confidence, you lose and there becomes finger pointing. And then if that locker room becomes toxic, we do know that Jimmy Butler can be that guy. And that's the worst case scenario, that this team is not good, they miss the playoffs, and they're old. And it becomes one of the worst trades, maybe right up there with they traded Robert Parrish once when to the Boston Celtics that set that legendary front court. It could be right up there with that, because if it doesn't work, it's not as though you can say, okay, it didn't work, let's move on. No, you've just committed yourself to $60 million per to a guy at age 35 with two bad knees. So
you're talking about Jimmy or Steph?
Take your pick.
Just saying, one of them's literally got bilateral.
Interchangeable at this point.
Tendonitis. All right, let's open up the phone lines. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone with you on Warriors this week. Let's go to Kevin in San Francisco, who's got a thought on the trade. Kev, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call. I was just a little confused, because it seemed to me what the Warriors sort of need to do is get a young big. And how the Lakers were able to get Mark Williams, even after they got Doncic. And I mean, for me, if I were the Warriors, I would have thought, you know, they've got Doncic now. Maybe we can get Goddard from Dallas, or maybe we can, you know, get a guy like Williams or a guy from the Pacers, maybe for Kuminga, and maybe keep Wiggins. And it just doesn't make sense. It sounds like desperation. It sounds like they're just trying to salvage this particular season and not really looking forward here about what they're going to really need to do. I can't see any way they can compete with some of the better teams with young bigs, you know, the Clevelands or the obviously Denver or OKC. I mean, it's just, they're just not going to be able to do it.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Well,
we'll get into it.
No, if you want to talk about it, we can do it now.
You
I have
the
my
rest
thoughts.
Of the calls.
All right.
I'll destroy you over Mark Williams.
No, later. You won't. No, you won't. No, you will not. The Warriors, he's right, though. They didn't really get that much bigger. Again, it's like, I don't know if they addressed the biggest issues with the roster. I mean, they got more talented, which you could argue is a problem. But they didn't get faster. They didn't get younger. They didn't get better shooting.
Oh, we can do Mark Williams now.
Okay, let's do it. You love the Mark Williams trade, and I'll tell you why you're wrong whenever you're done.
No, go ahead. You tell me what's wrong with Mark Williams, who, by the way, a 7'1" center who went to the Los Angeles Lakers for Dalton Connect. And how many picks did they give up?
I think an unprotected first and an additional pick. I don't know if it was a second or someone else's, but they gave up like a good young piece in Connect and at least one unprotected first.
Yeah.
Like they gave up more draft capital than they did for Luka Doncic, which I thought was funny. But how many people out there have actually watched Mark Williams play basketball?
True.
Like, let's be honest. I watch an occasional Charlotte game here and there. Like last night, I thought the game, I've been watching more of the Spurs, so they played the Spurs. I think Charlotte actually won that game. But who has actually seen Mark Williams play? Number one, because he's been marooned in the Queen City. And number two, Dan, he's played 38% of games since he's entered the league.
Bad foot, bad back.
What I think that Mark Williams is like the new version of DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, God.
No, but you remember how many people loved DeAndre Ayton when he was 22 or 23 years old?
He was the number one pick.
Yeah.
Out of the University of Arizona.
Because he was offensively gifted, and he had feathery touch. And then you realize,
by the way,
he's
having a renaissance in Portland.
No. Portland's having a renaissance in spite.
No, but he's played much better. I know they have bigs that have surpassed
Klingon's better than him already, I think. But DeAndre Ayton doesn't play a lick of defense, neither does Mark Williams. Just because you're 7 feet tall doesn't mean you can defend and you block shots.
Here's the reason. Are you done?
Yeah, fine. Go for it. I don't think it's as big of a fleece as people are making it out to be.
Here's the reason why. Again, it gets back to GMs, where you have to be able to take a risk, roll the dice, and have a vision.
You just love the pups.
I do. You're right. And I do remember this guy when he was at Duke. All right? And I don't think he was a one and done at Duke. When you're just watch this dude run up and down the floor, and then watch Quentin Post run up and down the floor. Like, you recognize an athlete. When you're 22 years old and you have a high motor like that, a guy that can be in the dunker spot. Now, listen. Does he have some warts? Yes. Now, medically, you got to vet him out and make sure that this guy's good to go. And they signed off on him that his foot and his back are good. But here's, actually, I'll tell you what, I'll play a game with you.
Okay. I love Gabe.
So there's a couple of go-tos that I have when it comes to the NBA, one of which is Kevin O'Connor. And I was reading him. He's now with Yahoo. He used to be the Ringer.
Yep.
And so Kevin O'Connor was talking about how Charlotte fans were going after him because he said on the trade deadline that Charlotte pointed out that this big guy that was just traded for is absolutely somebody that's just dog meat, all right? Overrated. Anybody else, to your point, who's actually seen him play, the Charlotte fans were saying, you're just watching the highlights. We see this guy play on the nightly, and there's a lot of dog in him. There is no defense in this guy. He is a waste of time. We have watched it over the last 2 years. Those are the Charlotte fans, and they should know better than anybody. Would you agree?
I would hope.
They were talking about P.J. Washington of a year ago. Kevin O'Connor wrote a piece about how that trade for P.J. Washington was a steal. My point is that when you're in that culture of someplace like Charlotte, a losing culture where you don't know any better, but you're a big who's got upside, who can run, you got those shoulders, and you got he's got a wingspan longer than that or as long as Wembanyama.
Oh, I know.
He still can't block shots.
He still doesn't use it.
But if you're in that losing culture, this is why GMs, like a Rob Pelinka, who I thought is just teaching a master's class, sometimes you got to roll the dice that that's the guy that everybody's overlooking. I'm willing to bet, much like that Sam Darnold out there with the Jets in Carolina, that he's in a losing environment. And with LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers, we're gonna set this dude straight, and we just got our big to go along with Luka for the next 10 years.
No, it's a move for the future, and it can help them this season. There's no doubt about it. But moving from a losing to a winning franchise is not going to change you playing 35% of games. It's not all of a sudden going to turn your foot into a titanium appendage. You're not all of a sudden going to play 75 games a year. The issue is not talent with Mark Williams, and I think he's a good player. What, you sent me the stat that he's the fourth most efficient offensive player in basketball or something like that. And he very may well be. But it doesn't change the fact that also, for example, the P.J. Washington trade, and this is where, like, the Warriors, to me, they, at the deadline, were looking for the piece, not a piece. P.J. Washington was a piece. He wasn't someone that had to come in and be the number one, number two, or even some nights number three option for the Dallas Mavericks. So that's where he helped them. Mark Williams, for example, has to be one of the pieces of now and later for the Lakers. I think that's a lot to ask. Jimmy Butler is expected to come in for the Warriors and be the piece. That's a lot to ask. And I think of all the players that were traded outside of, you know, Doncic and maybe Fox, Butler's more equipped than anybody to handle that. But even De'Aaron Fox is not the number one in San Antonio. That's Wembanyama. You know, Zach LaVine might not have to be the number one in Sacramento. Jimmy Butler, I think, is being, of all the guys that were traded, Jimmy Butler is going to be asked to do the most of any piece that was acquired at the deadline. And he's 35 years of age. That's, I'm not saying that it can't work. I'm just saying that's a lot to ask. You know, and
by the way, San Antonio, I think, just got over on everybody.
Yeah, they did. They did. They didn't have to give up anything.
Zach, like, Collins.
By the way, I know they're in Sacramento, but, and I was actually excited at first. It just goes to show you that not all first-round picks are created equal. When I saw that De'Aaron Fox was traded for three first-round picks, I saw, oh, that's, and they got LaVine. That's, you know, that's a decent deal. And then you start to do some digging, and you see that the only pick they have this year, I think, is top 14 protected. They're not going to get it because Charlotte stinks. They got the Spurs 2027 first-round pick.
Vucevic did go to the Kings.
What?
Nikola Vucevic did go to the Kings.
Oh, well, I'm saying in the deal, though, in the Fox deal. Oh. Vucevic, did he end up going to Sacramento in that deal? I thought it was just LaVine.
Yeah, he went to Sacramento, right? Yeah. Vucevic is with the Kings.
Oh, I'm just talking about the deal.
Yeah. But I thought we were talking during the break. I was like, yeah, Vucevic is now in Sacramento.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. I mean, I think if the Warriors had been able to get Vucevic, that would have made the Butler deal make a lot more sense.
Sacramento, look at least on paper.
Yeah, well, that's they're always good on
Sabonis,
paper.
Sabonis, DeRozan, Vucevic. I mean, got some boys.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They have some boys, but
LaVine, what about LaVine? LaVine, Sabonis, Vucevic, DeRozan. It's a lot of talent.
It is a lot of talent. They just became the Sacramento Bulls. Like six games under 500. Like being the Bulls is
What is Sacramento? I mean,
what is Chicago doing?
What the hell did they get?
Nothing.
For LaVine?
They
didn't even get a starter. Herter?
Well, he has started. I don't think he's very good, but he has started. He has hurt.
The Red Menace?
His team. What do they call him? Red Velvet?
Red Velvet.
Red Velvet. No, look, what are the Bulls doing? I don't know. They kept their best player, though. Kobe White. That's a guy I would have wanted if I was the Warriors. By the way, yeah, I don't think Vucevic left. I think he's still in Chicago.
Why do I want to say he was traded to the Kings?
I don't know why you want to say that. Maybe he almost was, but LaVine's in Sacramento. Alex Len.
What did the Bulls trade for Vucevic?
Just got bought out. Because he went to Washington, I think.
Okay.
Valanciunas moved. Locals. There was a lot of smaller sort of deals on the periphery. There was a lot of action at the deadline. Like, compared to last year especially, I think the biggest name that was moved was Siakam. You know, this year is like, God, I mean, and it does set up a summer, I think, that'll be interesting for the Warriors. Because, to me, also, you're not making this Jimmy Butler deal if you don't think that you can be competitive next year.
DeAndre Hunter.
DeAndre Hunter's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you talk about bold.
Well, I don't know if it's bold.
Well, Cleveland has got the best record in the East.
I think they also ducked the tax by making that deal, too, because they got off of LeVert and Niang.
Not only was it done for money, but I think that's an upgrade.
Yeah, I agree. Their starting three was like Dean Wade, or maybe it was Okoro on some nights. I mean, I still don't think they have enough to beat Boston in a seven-game series, but they're going to be good.
You always sleep on the Knicks. I don't know. Well, go ahead.
All right. I know that you split time between the coasts, but quit selling me on the Knicks. They don't play defense, even though they have all these players that are supposedly good defenders.
They got a player just as good as Podziemski, if not better, named Tyler Kolek.
No, they got a lot of players better than Podziemski.
Well, I mean a left-hander that's just his second year. You know this guy, Tyler Kolek? He has 2 feet that are not the same size.
Sounds like an operation. What?
He has 2 feet. He's a guard for the New York Knicks. He's a left-handed. He's their version of Podziemski.
Oh, that's trouble.
He has 2 feet he has like a size 12 and a size 10. Like his left foot is size like 13 and his right foot's like a size 11 and a half.
How do you know that?
I was reading this in the Post.
Big tabloids guy. No, the Knicks are, look, the Knicks are good, but I don't know, man. I just don't think they have enough. Even though they got a lot of talent.
I think what's scary out in the
West. Tim's going to run them into the ground. Jimmy Butler knows better than anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Those two actually got along for a couple of years. And again, the riff was not with Tibbs. And that infamous pickup game, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In Minnesota?
Well, and that's actually something I think, like Wiggins gets unfairly grouped into that young Timberwolves core that Jimmy Butler couldn't stand, supposedly. He just didn't like Cat. Like, he didn't like Karl Anthony Towns. He thought he was soft, which has been not proven incorrect. Although I think Cat improved his standing around the league a lot last year with the Wolves and has definitely helped the Knicks. But, no, Butler loved Wiggins. I think vice versa.
It's interesting that you mention Karl Anthony Towns and the guy that he was traded for.
The Kings got Jonas Valanciunas. That might be who you're thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Not Vucevic, Valanciunas.
Thanks, Joe. 818.
The trade that brought Randall, right? Julius Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. One player who, and DiVincenzo hasn't been the same, but one player that just, to get back to sort of your point, if Jimmy Butler doesn't fit in, he's the alpha, it just doesn't work, how it can disrupt. Now, Minnesota was a much better team than that of the Warriors, because they went to the Western Conference Finals a year ago. But my point is that one trade and one player disrupts everything in terms of harmony, in terms of what it is you did a year ago. It's all out of sorts because Randall was just did not fit into the fabric of the way Minnesota's doing it. Now Minnesota is ready to blow it up all over again. There's talk that Ant-Man could be out. I mean, it's a joke out there in Minnesota for a team that came out of nowhere, but they moved this one piece in trying to get better. And a lot of it had to do with the money. Karl-Anthony Towns for Julius Randle. And Julius Randle has just become this disruptive force that has set that franchise in the rear. So, again, if we were to revisit worst-case scenarios with Jimmy Butler, it could be something like that of what it is Minnesota has had to deal with this year.
I guess I wouldn't be as worried about that happening. By the way, you know the Wolves, why they've been playing better?
Why?
Because Randle's been out. Naz Reid has had to start for them, who's probably the better fit anyways. But Randle was never expected to come in and be the best player on that team. It was always going to be Anthony Edwards' team. And while I'm not, I don't know, maybe people can use my words, I'm not saying that it is now Jimmy Butler's team. It will always be Curry's team. But I think if the Warriors are to change the course that they've charted, which has been about 500 with Curry as your best player, Jimmy Butler's got to be better than him if you're really going to make a wholesale run. If, for example, the Warriors, so the Warriors right now are 25-26. They're tied for the 10 seed. They are 3.5 games out of the six, right? If they are to get to the six, they got to jump five teams. Woof. I think that they got to get to like 45, 46 wins, and that might be generous. That means you got to go 20, and if they got 31 games left, 20-11 or 21-10, that's really good. That's a great stretch of basketball over the course of like 2 months. And I think if they're going to do that, and I'm not stripping them of that possibility, to me, Jimmy Butler has to be the catalyst because when Curry this year has been, and he hasn't had help, but I don't know. Like I don't think that Curry all just continuing to lead this team and taking 20-25 shots a game is going to get them to a 21-10 record over 30 games.
Even if he's not drawing the sort of attention that he's currently dealing with, because Jimmy Butler's.
Well, I think if anything. Oh, we got to go. Sorry, we got to hit a break here. I think if anything, and I'll tell you why on the other side, I think Jimmy's going to love playing with Curry. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it's
I might have to bust out a little Michael Jackson and start moonwalking on Thursday night.
Next Thursday?
Yeah. This Thursday.
We're going out.
This Thursday.
Yeah, I told you. I've finally done some homework.
Let's go.
All-Star Weekend.
I might actually leave the city.
Dude.
Oh. How quick of a flight is it?
You can leave your passport at home, all right? We can go to the other side of the bridge. It's not, like, they speak the same language in the East Bay. I just want you to know this.
Are you driving out there? Maybe I'll just roll with you.
Yeah, just pull up. I got a spot for you. There's no Fernet. You know, they generally leave that here in the city. But it's a fun time. I'll show you around. Show you around the island of Alameda. Show you around Oakland.
I don't want to see any of that. I just want to go to the party into an open bar.
Dude, if you're my guest in the East Bay, I got to take you around. All right, I got to show you all the spots. Don't worry, there's like four of them. We'll be in and out. But, no, I can't do it.
Come on, I want to hear your declaration. Are you talking about the Warriors?
No. Do you think the Warriors got better at the deadline? I think so.
Yeah, I do.
Do you think they got good enough to hold off your San Antonio Spurs?
Well, I think San Antonio really improved themselves. I really do. So, and I don't know if you guys watch this Stephon Castle, but this guy is a budding star. He's a rookie.
You know who misses him? UConn. They stink.
They're not good this year?
Well, they're not going to.
Well, that's another team. Portland, you got to keep an eye on.
You gotta stop with the Trailblazers. I know they're playing well. I know
they're kind of like
well.
Utah of a year ago. It's like, wait, what are we doing here? Why are we winning now? We're in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. What's going on here?
They kind of remind me of what the Rockets were at the end of last season. Yeah. Where like they won like 10 in a row, yeah. But you know, Şengün was hurt, and they basically just beat teams by trying to run you out of the gym because they're so young and dumb and don't really know any better. I think the Spurs are the problem next season. I don't know. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for Fox to figure out how to play. Also, because I think last night was his first game. They lost, but he's the two. Like, he's playing alongside Chris Paul.
His first game against Atlanta, and he was huge. He was like 10 of 14 from the floor. It was gigantic. You know who doesn't fit in now? And this is gets back to my point of, like, it just doesn't work when you turn the corner and you're young. It just sort of stands out in a bad way. Is now, and they haven't been bad for this team this year, but all of a sudden, Chris Paul and Harrison are just, they don't fit. Now that one guy joined that team, and De'Aaron Fox, now suddenly it's like, yeah, Chris, he shouldn't be starting anymore.
Well, I think they're stopgaps. You know,
They were all along, but now it's just more clear once you see Fox going downhill and Wembanyama just running with him and Keldon Johnson and Vassell and all these boys. It's just like, yeah, that's what you want, man. Guys are just high energy, and then here comes Chris Paul, slow, plodding. You know, it's just, that's the Warriors, right? They're void of that. Like, that's where you want to be. That's when we talk about the direction you want to take, that's the direction you want to lean in.
Well, and that's why I think the Warriors, their young guys are going to be important. I do feel confident in saying that because I don't think that Butler, Curry, and Draymond are going to stay healthy for, you know, let's say they got 31 games left. I think they're all three going to be able to play in, like, hopefully 25 of them, you know,
how many of those do they play together?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. If you could get
25?
That's optimistic. If you could get 25 games with those three on the floor together, that to me is best case scenario. So when Kuminga comes back, he's going to have to play a big role because he's going to be Butler. He's going to be in for Draymond. I think he's going to have to play big minutes no matter what off the bench anyways. Moody, that's a player that I wonder how Butler sort of affects him because it seems like he plays best when he's a forward now. And I also wonder how the Warriors are going to be able to overcome. I know that Wiggins isn't like a sniper, but he was shooting 38% from three this season, and they traded him for a player that does not shoot threes all that well.
No.
So I think that there's a path for them staying at the same level defensively, and they've been around a top 10 group this year. And ideally, Butler helps you in the half court and what your offense can produce, because that's one thing that I think it's been the most difficult part to watch about this Warriors team is when they do settle into a half-court set. I mean, they struggle to get good looks, and even when they do, it feels like Buddy Hill's bricking an open three.
You touched on something that I wanted to explore. Defense wins championships, right? That's sort of what the Dallas Mavericks live by. Like, that's why they got rid of
Luka Doncic. They also might die by it, too, but sure.
And defense is, like, you threw out the 97 Houston Rockets, and I was like, hey, listen, it's a different NBA these days. Do you still think that the emphasis on defense is what it once was, even just a couple of years ago? I'm willing to say defense doesn't win you titles anymore.
I disagree with that.
The Boston Celtics were good defensively, but they outscored you. Is what it is that they did a year ago. They shot threes better than anybody. It was all about the offense. The Dallas Mavericks last year lost to the Boston Celtics. It wasn't because of defense. It wasn't because of Luka and Kyrie Irving don't play defense. It's the fact that they needed another shooter. They needed offense in order to beat Boston. And that's why they went out and got Klay Thompson.
Well, then why did they just trade maybe the best offensive player in the league?
Well, that's for another conversation. That's my point.
Yeah.
Is that this idea that defense, I'm not necessarily, I understand the importance of defense. I'm beginning to think after what it is that Boston did and the way the NBA is trending these days, that we're overrating defense in today's association.
I don't know if we're overrating it. I think defense is always going to be important. I mean, show me a team that was a bottom half defense that won a championship. But you're right that you do need firepower, and that's I think that's probably the biggest difference between the Warriors now and when they won the title. It's like, you know, they were the best defense by defensive rating in basketball in 2022. They were like 17th in offense. So they won with defense, but they had enough scoring to get it done. This year, it's like they're a pretty good defensive group, but they've been abysmal the last month and a half offensively. And I think Jimmy Butler can absolutely help them there. But I wouldn't go as far as to say defense is overrated, because I think that if you look at the best teams, OKC, yeah, they score a lot, but they're the number one defense in basketball by far, and they just got better with a two-way player coming back in Chet. Cleveland is a really good offense, but what hasn't changed about them is their defensive identity. You know, those two bigs, Allen and Mobley, are really difficult to score on. Boston, yes, they get up a lot of threes, but they're switchable 1 through 5. So you're right. Like, you need to score at a higher level. I mean, offensive rating and per possession, it keeps going up and up and up. But at the end of the day, in the postseason, I think you got to be able to guard your man.
Like, a lot of people think the biggest concern with the Los Angeles Lakers now is defense, because you lost Anthony Davis. Who's going to defend?
And Max Christie, who is probably your best perimeter defender.
And now you just got Luka Doncic. LeBron doesn't defend nearly as well as he once did. Reeves is not a good defender. They got nobody defensively. I'm still willing to bet they're going to be a better basketball team. Look at the Dallas Mavericks.
I can see that.
A year ago, didn't really have any defender. Yeah, now you got AD, but I think we've become so offensive-minded. I think we've become so three-centric that defense isn't what it once was, as far as its level of importance for you to win.
No, you're right. I mean, the three ball is the most important shot in basketball, right? You got to be able to get them up. You got to be able to hit them at a high clip. And the Warriors, I think, have shown us that. It's like, that's the one thing they have been able to do well this year is shoot the three, because they can't get anything inside the three-point line. This is interesting from the 925. I told my friends at the beginning of the year I did not see the Warriors going anywhere, but all I wanted was for them to be fun to watch. They have not been fun to watch. Now I'm really hopeful that has changed. I do think they will be more fun to watch, and it's because Curry finally does have a partner. Now, I think that if they're going to be good this year, that Butler's got to be the Batman, and maybe Curry's a co-Batman. I don't know. Maybe he's Nightwing instead of Robin or whatever you make him out to be. But the 408 says Curry and Jimmy B, now the best 1-2 duo in the West since Curry and KD. I wouldn't go that far, but Devone, where do you think that 1-2 punch, the Warriors duo now, ranks in the West among 1-2 punches?
Wow. I have to see it unfold. I have no idea how this is going to materialize. I really don't.
Curry didn't even have one of those before, I think, which was the biggest issue for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, Clay, are you talking...
I'm saying like this season.
Yeah.
This season. It was just him and Pods? Him and Wiggins?
I mean, you think that Butler has to be a number one. Steph is always going to be your guy. Steph is always going to be your best player. He just has to be really good. He has to be Jimmy Butler. And then Jonathan Kuminga has to be really good when he comes back. You don't necessarily have to be the best player on the team. Just be Jimmy Butler. Just be good. And it's still going to go through Steph. If it's clutch time and we need a bucket, it's clear side for Steph, or let him just do his thing. And if he doesn't have that crease or a step back, he'll find Jimmy Butler. But this is still going to be, I think it's still going to be his team. Jimmy Butler just has to be really, really good. If Jimmy Butler's really good, again, that just opens a lot more, you know, that just gives you a lot more avenues and a lot more opportunities to win.
See, I don't think that Curry all of a sudden is going to go back to scoring 25 or 30 a game. What I think is that Jimmy Butler is going to play easier basketball. Like, I think teams are still going to double Steph. I think teams are still going to try and take the ball out of his hand. But now you have a player...
Well, not to this degree. This is getting preposterous.
Well, but again, you remember back in, I think it was 2018, Ty Lue talked about in that finals, or those two finals they played against each other, what was the game plan? It wasn't to double Durant. It was to double Curry. Because if you can stop him, Durant can get his. Like, I think teams are still going to throw the kitchen sink at Steph Curry. But now you finally have a player that can take advantage of that, I think, with more consistency than an Andrew Wiggins or whoever else you like offensively. And that's Jimmy Butler. So I'm excited to see what Jimmy can do with the attention that I believe is still going to be paid to Steph. But if I'm going to go down the list of the Western Conference teams, are Curry and Jimmy better than Shea and Chet?
No.
Are Curry and Butler better than Ja and Jaren Jackson?
No.
Are they better than Jokic and Murray?
Well, Murray hasn't been very good, but Jokic has been so amazing, so I'm going to give the nod to Denver just because Jokic is incredible.
Are they better than Kyrie and AD?
No.
Are they better than... Yeah, the other teams, Durant and Booker, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so I agree, and I think that those teams, like, that's to me where they've leapfrogged a couple of these squads. They now have a tandem, that you could legitimately think about being better. I don't know if they're better than Harden and Kawhi. You know, Kawhi's always hurt, so yeah, I think they're better than the Kings duo now. I think they're better than... Are they better than LeBron and Luka? Probably not. Are they better than Minnesota, what they got? It's, I don't know. I think it's still going to be an uphill battle.
But that's so difficult to handicap because...
I know.
Who the hell knows how this is going to look, right?
Well, we're going to find out tonight.
I'm excited. I think that at the end of the day, it's must-watch TV again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing has just been... It's been a dog for so long. Woof.
Well, they just got one. Oh, yeah. Throw that back at me. Woof. Yeah, they just got a dog. His name is Jimmy Butler.
It's just been hard to watch, man. It's been boring. Well, hey, like, even if you're bad, I like young teams that are... Sometimes I'll watch bad NBA basketball teams that are young just simply because, like, San Antonio was terrible in the beginning of the season. But when you can see young stars that have potential... And you know that everybody knows that they're not very good. Watching young players make their way in the NBA and then you know have a bright future is one thing. Watching a Golden State Warrior team that has been this sort of imbalance, lack of an identity, old, young, no personality, not very good, can't score, is just unbearable at times.
Well, is Jimmy Butler going to be the difference between Buddy Hield making an open three and not?
Oh, I'm so done with Giovanni.
Well, he's going to be starting because you got one less shooter in the lineup now. I think...
What do you mean he's going to be starting?
Buddy Hield's got to start.
Who's the... You're not sliding Butler to two?
No. No, it's... I can almost... I can't guarantee you. What I think is going to happen, it's going to be Curry, Hield, Butler, Green, and then... Poster.
But what about when Kuminga comes back?
Kuminga's going to be on the bench.
Wow.
You don't have enough shooting.
I'm trying to think of options, and now that, you know, that...
You don't have enough shooting. I mean, maybe Post allows you to play Kuminga and Butler together.
You got to stop with the Post.
Dude, I'm trying to be creative as all heck here. I mean, imagination, let it run wild.
Post could be a starter.
He is! He is starting for them. I think he's going to start tonight. Let's go out to Pleasanton. He's got the... Oh, Kev. Kev! He's got the solution for all of this to work for the Warriors. Kevin, what's up, my man? Good morning.
What's up, guys? This is Kev, the real new edition. I'm the one that called in, you guys, talking about the Warriors look like the new edition. The old school new edition that's doing a residency in Las Vegas. And I said, which one do you think is Draymond Green? And the guy said Bobby Brown is Draymond. Sometimes he's on, sometimes he's off. But look, so how does this sound? You got Devin Vassell, Stephen Castle, Scotty Barnes, Jacob Piotti, 7-footer, 29 years old. You got Bogdanovich, Dyson Daniels, Cam Whitmore. Those are guys that all are available for the Warriors to have done something with. And unfortunately, they didn't do anything. They got Jimmy because they got a name brand guy, but that's not going to make it exciting. It's not going to be a winning philosophy. And unfortunately, with Steve, he's going to run that system. And if you guys recall, when KD came on, it took KD like 3 months. I'm sorry, about 2 months and a half to adjust to that. We only have 30 games left. and it's going to be an adjustment. I heard Kerr say, well, you know, he's going to play through, he's going to let the ball be played through Butler when Steph's not in. If Steve doesn't change up, it's going to be a dreadful, and I hate to say it, guys, a dreadful remaining 31 games and a horrific next year. It'll be good once Steve leaves because his contract is over at the end of next year. And quite frankly, at the end of next year, once Steve Kerr leaves, then the Warriors will be a much better team.
Okay, but, sounds good, Cap. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know if there was, pardon me, much of a solution in there. Let's finish up with D&DC.
Where did Dyson Daniels go?
He's with the Hawks. He's one of the best on-ball defenders.
No, I know, but he didn't go anywhere in the trade deadline.
No. He's saying these are players they missed out on, like in the draft.
They
didn't draft him and stuff like that. D's in D.C., what's up, man? What's going on?
What's going on, brother Evan Giddings? What's going on, Dan?
What up, D?
Yo.
Yeah, I can't complain, man. I can't complain. Hey, listen, man, I'm just calling to let you know, number one, my Saturday wouldn't be a good Saturday without you guys, man. Y'all complete my day, man. Y'all complete my day.
Thanks.
But anyway,
just
to voice my opinion on that that new trade that we just did, man. I don't know how to feel about the new acquisition. This dude is a malcontent wherever he's gone. Yes, he starts well and then, but always finishes improperly, to say the least. He always want to fight with ownership or fight with the front office, et cetera, et cetera. We already have a coconut in the doggone roster named Draymond Green. He's the GM, the coach, the whatever you want to call him. Damn, can you imagine what the relation is going to be between those two in our locker room? Man, I just can't fathom it, man. So I don't know, bro. I don't think it's a good deal. I don't think it's a good pairing. And you know, I'm going to keep an open mind, but I hope it works out, man. But I think it's a mistake to it was a mistake to trade for Jimmy Butler. That's my view.
Thanks, D. Appreciate the call. Hope all is well in D.C. Yay! Look.
Let's get WWE written all over it. That's a Vince McMahon dream matchup. Cage matchup.
Well, I think you said it perfectly earlier. It's like they are going to be must-watch. That's something they weren't before. It's, you know, when they're on national television or on NBC Sports Bay Area or listening on 95.7 The Game, like, you're going to want to know what Jimmy Butler does. You're going to want to know what the Warriors are doing. And, I got friends that have been in and out lately. They ain't really watching the Warriors much. You know, they follow the team, but at the very least, they're going to be entertaining. I think that we can say.
You hope. Because the worst-case scenario is that after a couple of weeks, nothing to see here.
Well, to D's point, though, it's like either it's going to work or it's going to bust.
Oh, it's feast or famine.
I think so.
This thing is... They may have just napalmed this thing, man.
Oh.
This thing could get really bad, especially with the contract. Like, this could be one of those huge, huge mistakes.
You got him for two more years. And you got Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy at $150 million. I don't know. I think they win tonight in Chicago. But we'll see. Also,
Thursday night.
What do you mean? Oh, that's right.
Go lay out my clothes tonight.
By the way, yeah, you and me, we're going out next week. You looking forward to Buddy Hield in the 3-point contest?
That dude is just, I can't even watch him anymore.
Draymond Green. And
he's gone from this guy that was so fun the first couple of weeks. Now it's just like, and he's sloppy defensively. This is like, I'm so out on his game, man.
You know, like Chivano, I thought you were in on him.
No, I'm done with that.
What about Draymond and Moses Moody in the skills competition?
I like that. I think the All-Star game is going to be fun this year. By the way, who the hell is going to call it? Because you got like four games.
Oh,
don't do that now. Oh, you know, we didn't get into, I really wanted to talk about the media's coverage of the Luka Doncic trade. Maybe we can do that next week.
Do you have a quick thought? We got a couple minutes.
This is a little involved.
Okay, I got you. No, we can get into that. I thought it was... Actually, I think Ethan Sherwood Strauss wrote an article about it, about the way that trades in general are covered and how the media can be protective just because of their relationships with some of these guys. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. But that'll do it for us here on Warriors This Week. A big thank you to Stephen Rizzotto producing this bad boy for us. Big thank you to everybody who called in, chimed in, texted in our YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For Dan Devone, my name is Evan Giddings, saying so long. Tap in, 5 o'clock, Warriors to play the Chicago Bulls at United Center. Tim Roy is going to be on the call. Mark Grand is going to have pre and post for you all here at 95.7. The game starting at 4 o'clock before the 5 o'clock tip. Jimmy Butler, the era begins tonight. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place, on your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
And Devon.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.